Welcome to Coaster Track, a UK theme park podcast in association with Scare Track. That's right, yes, another one of those theme park podcasts. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Coaster Track, Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's begin the show.
You're listening to Coaster Track, a UK theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Coaster Track podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a discussion episode with the team from the Trick Track podcast. Trick Track is a brand new UK-based podcast all about theme parks, roller coasters, absolutely everything to do with the industry that we all know and love here at Coaster Track. And of course, we dip in a little bit of Scare Track stuff as well. So without any further ado, let's take you to the discussion episode with myself interviewing the team from the Trick Track podcast.
You're listening to the Coaster Track podcast.
Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of Coaster Track with a little bit of Scare Track mixed in as well. We are here with the Track team. Guys, how's it going?
Hello.
Not too bad, thank you.
Good. We're all good here. Thank you for coming on to the show. It's always good to get other podcasts here on Scare Track and Coaster Track. Before we start, let the listeners know who you are. So who are we speaking to right now?
Who's going first?
Don't all jump at once, guys.
My name's Lizzie. I'm a member of Trick Track. I have my own channel, but I don't upload to it. Yeah.
Cool. You sold half of it.
Mostly. So I'm Callum. I'm also a member of Trick Track. I don't really have a channel minus Trick Track, so that's about it.
And my name's Luke, also known as Unreliable Luke, which is my Twitter and stuff. I have a channel, which is Unreliable Attractions blog, and a blog called that. And... yeah, that's about it for me.
Awesome boy.
You can tell who's the most productive out of all of us.
And you've all come together under this umbrella of Trick Track. Where did Trick Track come from then? Like, where did you guys think it's let's make a podcast together? How was it born and how was it created?
I don't even remember. It was weird, over Twitter, I think, but Luke had mentioned a while ago about making a podcast. I think it was in a tweet or something, and with us all having links with each other, we sort of formed a little clan and recorded our first episode.
Yeah. Sweet. it was like when the Discord started,
and
we all just kind of like got together, and then kind of it just naturally happened. I think
we all wanted to make a platform. I mean, as some of us were already kind of making bits of content, like with Nikki, who isn't here today, she had a lot of her YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. But we all thought a podcast would be a good idea, so we got together and thought, fuck it, it can't go wrong.
Awesome.
Yeah, and as we live like all the four corners of the bloody country.
Mm-hmm.
We thought,
so in the middle of you lot, there's some buried treasure.
Yeah. We've actually found the middle point as well. Where was it?
Don't tell me it's the Velvet Coaster.
I can't remember where the middle point was.
It was near a Spoons anyway, so...
Yeah, but where are you? Where are you not near a Spoons? They're like rats.
Yeah, true that, yeah.
Never a stone's throw away from a Spoons.
As well.
Sweet, so it sort of happened naturally, which is quite nice. And obviously it's mainly focusing around UK theme parks. You guys are all theme park geeks like me. So let's start way back when. Why do you guys individually love theme parks? What got you into them? What's your home park? What's your favourite? Give me a bit of your theme park enthusiasm, if that's a word.
Ooh. Cal, you go first, lad.
Oh, here we go. Put me on the spot. I got into coasters probably about 11-ish. originally I was quite scared of him. I went on a log flume at Flamingoland when I was probably like 7 or 8 and was petrified of it and didn't touch him for ages. And out of the blue, I was like, fuck it, let's go Fort Park. So me and my parents went down to Fort Park and instantly just went on Nemesis Inverno. And since then, I've kind of just fallen in love with coasters. Planning to do plenty more, hopefully, alongside money. But yeah, there's not really much else to it.
The original Nemesis is...
Oof. Unpopular opinion over here.
It's a popular opinion. Come
for me.
On.
I'm going to be ganging up on that, aren't I?
A little bit.
Ooh.
But
how about you, Luke?
Well, for me, well, my parents used to take me to Port Aventura back in like mid-90s. Like, I think we went on an opening year, and I remember being like fully immersed. Holy shit, this is amazing. But the rides were just like way too big, so I didn't really go to any parks for like 20, 25 years. And then Theme Park Worldwide came along and changed it all. And yeah, and then started the blog and Twitter and the channel like back last year. And
the rest is history.
Yeah, it's kind of got to now, really. What about you, Lizzie?
I mean, for me, it's been pretty mental because I've been absolutely petrified of coasters all my life until it was mid sort of last year that I ended up getting over my fear. I mean, there's still like types of coasters that will terrify me. Like, I'm shit scared of heights, so that's something that I'm probably not going to get over, but it won't stop me riding any coasters. I think the main coaster that helped me get over that was Nemesis. I think a lot of people say that, but I think it was the only one that looked terrifying but also looked fun at the same time, whereas the rest of them were just a no-go. So
it was only last year you really sort of got into it.
No, that ride is so good and I cannot get enough of it still. It's so good.
Relentless.
You can't beat a bit of Nemesis.
I really hope. Oh, it's so good. I hope they never dismantle it. Obviously, they will, but I hope it's a long time.
It will remain in our hearts.
The day that happens is going to be a chaotic day.
I know.
If Nemesis goes, we riot.
Yeah.
You can't stop all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. If we all just tie ourselves to the track, they can't move us.
They can move us with the track. We'll take it.
Yeah. Which will be a story. That would be a story.
It bloody would.
Sweet. So you've all sort of got into it in slightly different ways and whatnot, and then Trick Track came very recently, you know, just the last few months. First of all, the name. How did you get the name Trick Track? Because me and Hannah just have a running joke ever since we went to Fantasialand and we went on the Whingers coaster. They have lots of different Trick Track elements. So we just sometimes randomly in the house would just shout, Trick Track! Trick Track! Randomly at each other.
That's pretty proud.
And now... Every time she mentions it, I keep thinking, "What, the podcast? Do I want to listen to a new episode?" I don't get it. So, where did Trick Track come from?
That was you, wasn't it, Luke?
I don't want to, you know, blow my own cock, but yeah.
I think it's cool because, like, it's not your typical. It's not a typical kind of element, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of like. Flowed, and I think like the different spelling as well, we just kind of wanted to do something short and snappy,
wanted to show that we're a bit edgy.
A little bit edgy.
yeah we didn't want something that was like theme park something, as much as that's like fine. We just wanted something that wasn't just branded for theme parks. So
yeah, so I suppose you could like delve out a little bit into other stuff if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Trick or treating now. We're tricking. Ooh. The name
Trick or Tweeting.
Nice. Don't step on any Scare Attraction podcast toes while you're at it. No, I'm joking. I'm absolutely fine with all these theme park podcasts, but if there's a Scare Attraction podcast, you're going down like Chinatown, motherfuckers. No, I'm joking.
We'll distract,
exactly, please. Like he's coming for you.
I'm not bitter at all, I'm joking. So okay, sweet. So you're on episode, is it episode 5, 6 now?
Well, we're going to release seven.
Is Friday.
Crikey, so it's all moving fast, and you've all had the likes of the drop on. How's it been sort of, especially you, Lizzie, saying you're kind of new to this enthusiast community as such. Yeah. How have you found it so far with all these other podcasters or other YouTubers and groups. I know people say there's kind of a stigma sometimes and people see the darker side of the enthusiast community, but so far so good in the last sort of 6 months. It's all pretty positive and happy.
Absolutely. I think the vibe that we've all sent as a community within 2020 has been like more than anybody could have ever asked. Like, especially with the likes of Blackpool being just around the corner, it's going to be so much better for everybody to be social and not being afraid to like speak to people. Like, I think everybody knows who everybody is in that sort of social situation. But for everybody to actually get along, maybe share a drink with somebody, I think it's going to be really good. Positive vibes.
I just want to get pissed with everyone. That's...
Exactly.
More than wondering.
Just get wasted. We can do this next week, guys. Like, there's spoons everywhere, like you said.
Exactly, yeah. Just saying that,
pissed,
yeah.
Don't we?
Local spoons, let's literally, do it.
Just go to an arcade with a bar next to it, and in fairness, probably more arcade rides would be working than the ones at Blackpool Pleasure Beach anyway, so...
Do you know what?
Yeah, true that.
Definitely true.
That's why our Flandin Tower's opening.
Yeah.
Well, I think me and Lizzie were planning on like penny pushing. Like,
yeah, we're going to go to the arcades and chuck some pennies in machines.
What, the ones where you put in pennies and you can win pennies.
Yeah.
What a result.
I know. And we don't finish until we've got rid of all of our pennies.
So the only way you can win is to lose.
Exactly.
Wow. That's just like life in general, isn't it?
Literally, yeah. No surprises here.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad it's all going good so far. So what, obviously to parks in your own different ways, what's your home park? Where's closest to you?
Ooh, mine's a funny one. Different, aren't they?
Mine's Drayton Manor, but well, technically it's Breen theme park, but it's not really a theme park, is it?
Oh, so Breen, where Sutty is?
Yeah, it's more of like a glorified.
Well, I'm jealous because I love Sutty.
I love Sutty, but like, I don't know. I don't want to talk crap about the park because I've never been there, and I have literally, I can't really do it. But from what I've seen on vlogs, it just looks a bit fun fairy, which
it's
isn't
a glorified fun fair, isn't it? Really?
But, yeah, it's. Not a theme park, it's more of an amusement park.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Mm. But it's your closest one, and you've never been?
No, never been, but I have been to Drayton Manor, because I live kind of like in between.
And, okay.
Yeah, I've been to Drayton Manor, that's like, quite a nice
park. With Drayton Manor, I think that all they had about the last 10 years is Thomasland.
That's pretty much all it is at this point, isn't it?
Definitely. It's a bit of a shame. It is. I mean, I think it's got the nicest themed kids area in the UK.
Hmm.
I think it's better than Peppa Pig World, but the rest of it just needs work. It really does.
A lot of work, definitely.
Especially with the removal of G-Force now. I mean,
of course.
Not really much
no
there.
No G-Force, no Rapids.
It's more of a G-string now, isn't
it? G-string.
I mean, you're right.
Wow, I did not think we'd be talking about G-strings.
That came out of nowhere.
It did come out of nowhere. It was good though. Sort of sidebar in here, but yeah, it managed. But when you think, if now they've taken out G-Force, their technically their newest coaster that isn't a kiddie coaster was their 1994 Shockwave.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, exactly. Is there any other? Well, they've got the one that used to be Ben 10 and
Accelerator, isn't it?
Troublesome Trucks. Yeah, Accelerator. But again, they're both kids' rides.
Yeah.
As far as it goes for Thrill Seekers, their newest one was 22 years ago.
Jesus. Yeah, it's older than me.
That's insane.
It's the same age as me.
That's mad. All right, who's next? What park are you closest to, guys?
My closest park is Alton Towers. So I've been there way too much, like, the past year. Even when I was terrified of coasters, like, I'd be going there, like, doing Hex and the Rapids, and that's it.
But that's a good thing about Towers, is that they do have, probably not as much as they used to, but a good variation of rides. You could go there and not have to do a coaster.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially with the addition of the dungeons, actually. I think that was a good move.
Yeah, good point. Again, I mean, it's a shame that it's an upcharge, but I understand why. But it's nice to have a quote-unquote dark attraction. I know it's not a ride as such, but the ride element in there. So yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah. I like the dungeons.
With them bringing in Gangster Granny as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as well, definitely, because I want to know what you guys are excited about for 2020, because it's a relatively quieter season than we've had past, I think. So yeah, it'd be exciting to see what's to come in 2020. And then last but not least, closest park?
I'm actually in between two.
Oh, lucky you.
Literally the same amount of drive time, Pleshwood Hills and Fort Park.
Oh, sweet. So you're quite down south.
Yeah.
And you have a favourite between the two?
Definitely Fort Park. Pleasure Hills doesn't really have much there, to be honest. I mean, you got a Wipeout, which is a fun boomerang, but you can only do it so many times before you're like, really? It's just a boomerang.
Yeah.
Has that got the egg coaster in it? Like the chicken coaster?
Oh. It's been a few years since it's been Pleasure Hills.
Pretty sure
they rethemed it last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
They might have had a retheme.
Express or something.
I think memes went about that as well throughout Twitter. It's ringing bells.
I'm not sure. I haven't been to Pleasurewood Hills in like 4 or 5 years.
To Pleasurewood Hills, there's sort of like there's not enough there for me to warrant like a 4-hour drive.
Not to Pleasurewood Hills, no. I wouldn't suggest that until the Halloween season, because they've started to add in some more scare bays now. Actually,
yeah, I've heard some good stuff. Actually,
I heard good.
The problem is that there's so much stuff in such a small space of time.
Mm.
It's hard to get to.
And when things are on the other side of the country, it's a bit more of a pain in the ass to get to.
Tell me about it. I'm already getting home at like 2 o'clock in the morning after some events,
Jesus.
And then I have to get that podcast edited and out that day. Otherwise, I won't have time to do it the day after because I'm at another event. So, yeah, you end up going to bed at 4 or 5 o'clock. If you can't get out of work, you're up at work in the morning, and it's a vicious circle. But hey-ho.
Sounds like October's a very busy month for you.
Oh, who needs sleep in October?
That's true.
No one. Sweet. So we've all got sort of dicks and whatnot. Does anyone have... obviously, this is just a general sort of idea of what Trick Track is and what you guys are all about. Do you have any sort of favourite coasters, favourite rides here in the UK?
Oh, in the UK?
Yeah, let's go
UK,
all the way. And then we can explore the rest of the world, and I can get very jealous from you guys going to all these lovely parts I haven't been to.
I think Wicker Man in this country, definitely. I love Wicker Man to pieces. The theming, the ride itself, like, I think it's quite intense.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely warms up, and if you're at the back, it does whip you around.
Oh yeah, it's so good. I mean, especially at night, at night in the wet, perfect.
I think my UK number one is. See, I have a lot of love for the Swarm, but I've still got to rank Nemi above that just because of how intense it is. That's my sort of thing.
It's tough to beat. It's just the whole location and the theme and absolutely everything. It just works.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really, really immersive.
Definitely, it's a shame that they didn't make Air as good as well themed. Well, Air Galactica, like. Originally, it was supposed to be a like an army theme, wasn't it? Back in originally the plans were to make it very like an army flying army that's attacking the Nemesis creature.
Oh, that would make so much more sense for that area because I think Nemesis really like outshines, especially what Air looks like now.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, now it's terrible. When they brought out the Galactica VR, I said that's going to last about 3 years before they get fed up of it. And how long did it last? 3 bloody years. It's such a fad. Don't get me wrong, when VR's done well, it can be done well. I like VR coasters and certain VR experiences, but who thought it would be a good idea to put VR on a fucking flying coaster is beyond me.
I have a very unpopular opinion about that, actually.
Oh, you're going to say you like it
with the VR without the VR.
You preferred it with the VR?
Yeah.
What?
Granted, I rode it the first time with the VR.
Oh, okay.
Then afterwards, rode it without the VR.
Right.
No. And I was like, yeah, I kind of prefer the VR because it's kind of a bit underwhelming.
As a coaster, yeah, it's not.
The thing is, though, change a rider. It doesn't change the layout or anything. So to me, I never rode it with the VR. A lot of people said that it didn't really work. So
yeah, it's always a bit.
I mean, the run I had with it on VR, it seemed to work perfectly fine, and it was quite nice. It wasn't like incredible, but I don't know. It was just a bit nicer than just seeing it wasn't that high up.
But do you think that maybe is from the fact that? Because I mean, a lot of people. I don't know anybody that really like loves. Like Air that much, but maybe it's the novelty of it. I don't know.
I suppose.
Yeah, it kind of just distracted me from it being a smaller flyer anyway. Like, getting onto other flyers better, but, like, it didn't really have much speed to what I felt either. And then when you had the VR on top of it, it felt, because you couldn't see anything, it felt like it was going a bit faster.
Yeah, I can get, yeah. I can add an intensity value.
It's a bit rattly nowadays as well.
Yeah. So I think that's why I prefer it with the VR.
No, that's a good shout. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I suppose it's all personal preference, isn't it? Which is what's great about our community. Like, people love some things, people hate others. Yeah. No one's ever right or wrong, which is where I think people get confused.
Absolutely.
People think they're right or they're wrong. No, it's just opinion. So all right, fair shout. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen a more... I'm sure it was like 2001, and the whole idea was it to be a military theme against Nemesis, but then September the 11th happened. So that obviously happened in 2001. So all those ideas were scrapped, and let's make it a nice, calm, relaxing oasis at the end of the Forbidden Valley. It makes no sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make no sense.
You're being attacked. Oh, it's fine.
Yeah. It's okay now. You can fly away.
Yeah. Come fly with me.
Oh, I love come fly with me.
It should have been come fly with me to ride.
Ah, oh, let's just chat to David Walliams and just go, mate, can this be Raj's heir?
Like, look, scrap Gangster Granny, come fire me on air.
Yeah, scrap the New Blue World. Forget your children's books.
Yeah, my favourite film is Avatar. You get me, yeah? You get me. Oh, I love that.
We got no paper cups.
We got water, we got fire to make the water hot, but we got no paper cups. Lost. Let's just do that instead. Who needs Gangster Granny? But I suppose that's a perfect segue. What do you guys think to Gangster Granny and the whole land of David Walliams?
I think it's good and needed.
Yeah, I mean, Cloud Cuckoo Land is just really seen to stay, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it needs something new in it.
They could literally put a bunch of like a turd theming in there, and I think it'd be better than what it was.
Yeah. Welcome to Poo Emoji Land.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
No, take that back, Luke. It could be worse.
Poo Emoji dropped out.
I think it's worth having, you know, I mean, years ago they used to have shows in the theatre which were good, but, you know, the UK don't really buy into shows for some reason. We don't, which is such a shame, because you go to somewhere like Europa Park or Fantasialand or, you know, the States, and everywhere has shows everywhere, and it's always packed out and full. But yeah, I mean, I remember going to watch a few shows there, and then Toyland Tours, I think, is one of the best sort of kids' boat rides I've ever done. Don't know if any of you guys did it.
No.
Probably a bit young.
You're all missing out on Toyland Tours. It was so good. If you do anything, watch a POV of that tonight. You'll love it. It's just so cool. It's just all about toys and happiness. And Toyland was great. And then, obviously, they made it into Charlie, which was fun. But then Charlie's closed. Then Wobble World closed. And years ago, Wobble World used to be an awesome soft play centre.
Oh,
really? Well, it was the same building.
Yeah, same building. So before it was all inflatables, it was a proper full on with slides, ball pits, rollers, all that palaver.
Jesus.
So you know, it had it. It seemed like it always used to have more when it used to be Cred Street. They used to have Barney the Dinosaur in the theatre.
That'd have been amazing.
It was honestly. Sort of like 1997, 98, Cred Street was awesome when I was younger, because I was scared of going on roller coasters. But yeah, it was awesome. And now they even had a Nickelodeon Funhouse for 1 year, where you could go into the Funhouse and it is like Nickelodeon, the TV show.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know that either.
No. Well, you know.
It's going back old school now. It only lasted for 2 seasons, I think, but... yeah, no, it was good. It was good. So, Gangster Granny, what are we expecting, guys?
I think it's nice to see... Luke, go on.
Oh, it's all right. No, you go there.
I was just going to say, it's nice to actually see a new dark ride. I think it'll be interesting. We spoke not too long ago about the video about the mechanics of the ride, and it looks to be something interesting. So, good luck to him.
Definitely something special. It's something that I've never seen before.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, it's and yeah, dark rides. I sometimes like dark rides over theme park roller coasters. Like, so.
Well, it should be. It's Merlin.
They should pull it out. I think. Yeah, it should be good.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. The thing with like Merlin is like I didn't expect much for like the Gruffalo and stuff, but it looks really good. So I'm guessing it's going to be like a similar.
I don't mind the Gruffalo. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm a bit sour about Bubbleworks, to be honest.
Yeah.
I miss Bubbleworks.
Did you know that? Have any of you guys been to Screamfest in Burton?
Nope.
No, it's near me though.
Is it? See, you should go. It's fun. It's not the most insane Scream park, but it's quite fun. But all the mazes, bar one, that were designed and created at Screamfest Burton, the guy that designed them is also the same guy that designed the Gruffalo and Room on the Broom.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah,
totally. I'll definitely have to check it out this year because it's pretty cheap, I think.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not like, I mean, some places get mega expensive, but yeah, it's quite well priced. I think they've got 5 mazes now, so it's worth the trip, definitely.
Yeah,
but it's worth going on a quieter night because they get rammed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Lizzie, you had a bit of a bad experience, didn't you? You did. Was it Extreme Scream?
Yeah, the issue was, like, I'd never really done any scare stuff, but I'm into my horror, so I thought it might be a good idea. And we planned everything. Like, I bought my tickets for Extreme, like, a couple of days before, and I was like, it was an impulse kind of thing. I absolutely love the park, but there was just issues with batching and queuing around mazes. It was a bit disappointing, really.
I had the same with Extreme, which is such a shame because the previous years it's been one of the best, like, by far. And then this last year, batching was an issue. That was the only issue. Everything else was really cool.
But, yeah, exactly.
The batching can really it can have an effect on an experience, can't it?
Yeah, it was in Ash Hell mainly. We got stuck in the low ceiling section. That was the worst thing to ever happen to me. But when we had a run through of the village, which is my favourite maze there, it's absolutely stunning. And we had a run through of that and we were pretty much on our own for the whole maze. And with it being like half outside, half inside, it was like you felt like you were really like alone. It was really good.
Yeah, definitely. The village is a masterpiece, in my opinion. I think it's phenomenal.
It's so beautiful, yeah. I mean, people that probably haven't done scare mazes probably wouldn't assume, like, beautiful with a word to do with scare mazes, but it's so stunning.
Oh, yeah. I use that word, like, too much when it comes to scare attractions. Like, I'll be walking through it and go, oh, my God.
Yeah,
that
look at those set
guy
pieces.
Who's chopping off that guy's head is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'll be crying in the corner.
Yeah. You really have to take it in. It's so good.
Yeah, it is so. I love it. I love it. And someone's going to be going through their very first scare attraction in Blackpool, am I right?
I actually won't be. I'm not coming to Blackpool, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. No. Unfortunately, it's just like money issues as such.
Life, real life gets in the way of fun.
But Towers will be.
Towers, first scare attraction.
They haven't got scare attraction. They haven't got Passage.
No, why not? But this Halloween will be.
I really want to make Halloween.
Proper scare attractions. I'm not sure what will be first, but it won't be anything insane.
The earliest event that starts Halloween in the UK is usually Farmageddon.
Farmageddon looks really good.
It is cool. It is really good. It's very American style, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really good. But yeah, last year they started on the 13th of September.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so our Halloween started in September and went on to like November.
which is
cool.
That's
yeah,
goals.
Definitely. But yeah, they're really great.
I think my local one. So that's the thing, because like on the 13th of September, my local one, they haven't even started training the staff yet.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, there's some.
My local one's Frightmare in Gloucester.
Yes, I know that. Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't go. I was planning on going, but yeah, selling out and stuff is.
Luke, aren't you close to Fear Fest Evil?
Yes, I
go and do that.
Yeah, I don't want to sign a waiver though. Like, no.
I mean, if you don't sign the waiver, that's. I mean,
I know. It looks too much for me, and
I definitely wouldn't do it.
Fear Fest Evil have definitely, they've only been going 3 years now, I think. And they've really hyped it up the last couple of years. I've not been myself, but Sean from the podcast has been. And they've really hyped it up the last couple of years. So I'd say if you wanted something that's slightly easier going, I'd definitely say Frightmare over Fear Fest Evil. Frightmare's more... They don't really advertise it as a screen park as such. It's more of a Halloween festival, they call it. Their mazes are... they're fun, but they're definitely not the scariest you're going to go through. I'd say
that's right for me then.
If you're going to have your first kind of experience, I'd definitely say Frightmare is a very good sort of option to do.
Because it sells out there's so many people. But I was quite lucky as well because I wanted to go the same day that I think PBE were there.
Oh yeah.
Because it was like my only day off, and it just chucked down with rain. And apparently the weather was horrendous, so I'm really glad I didn't go.
They had really bad flooding as well. I went on Halloween night, and they said they had the worst season ever due to all the flooding.
Oh God!
Yeah, they had a shit season.
I mean, I feel like a bit of rain would make a scare. Like your scare kind of mazes a lot more scarier. I don't know.
Like, why? It kind of just.
I don't know. I just feel like. Chucking it down with rain and just like I feel like I just add a bit more to it. I don't know why.
I'll tell you, a little bit of misty rain can be nice now and again because it doesn't quite get you too wet, but it adds a bit of atmosphere.
Yeah.
But if it's absolutely tipping it down, if you're walking actors, your roaming actors, they obviously don't want to get the costume soaking wet, so you won't see them as much, and they might cancel. In their Fear at Avon Valley, they had to cancel their fire show because it was too wet.
Seeing videos, that looks incredible. Just side note,
Fear at Avon Valley is amazing, in my opinion. They're relatively new. They've only been going maybe 5 years tops, and their mazes are definitely some of the best in the UK.
Probably have to check that out this year, I think, because 2019 was a bit on the quiet side. I think
my issue was as well, I didn't know about half of these scare events until it was happening. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. So I want to actually get more stuff done this year.
Definitely. There's in the UK, you're never more than an hour away from an event. When we first started doing it, I first started visiting them 10 years ago now. I went through my first one, 2010, Saw Alive. Back then, you could literally just do, it's Towers, maybe Farmageddon, Thorpe, and Scare Kingdom, and that's about it. Whereas now, jeez, there's so many, and there's even more popping up this year.
Everywhere.
There's a brand new one called Screamfields that's got a really big marketing push at the moment, and they're releasing they're releasing the location tomorrow. So, it's good. I know a few people behind it, so I know it's going to be good. But it's when friends are keeping their cards close to their chest, they won't tell you everything.
Of course.
But yeah, it's going to be good. It's a good season.
I think. Have you heard of is it Salvation Z or Salvation Z or something? That's in Gloucester, my area as well. Yeah. But it's set in a prison, Gloucester prison, because it's not used anymore. And it's that live zombie event thing. And I'm not sure if it's the running ones.
Yeah, it's run by Immersive Events.
Scare the shit out of me.
Immersive Events. They run Gloucester Prison, the Darner Prison in Shrewsbury, which is literally next door to me, and then a prison in Shepton Mallet as well. They run some pretty damn good events. Because you're in a prison, it's already fucking terrifying.
Oh my god.
You don't need to do much, do they?
Yeah.
A lot of prisons are supposed to be haunted.
Yeah, they do tours as well.
I'm good.
Yeah, I skip on the ghost tour stuff. I'd rather someone in makeup jump out at me rather than actual ghost try and kill me.
I don't want to come out possessed.
Side of that stuff. I'd rather
sorry. That's why I feel sorry for the actors, because they got a standard
there. Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah, imagine having to reset that maze in, like, at the end of the night or whatever, or turn everything off.
There's some scary horror stories, definitely. There was one maze I went through, sorry, sidebarring now, in the National Emergency Services Museum in Sheffield. They actually had to stop a night of the scare maze because in one of the cells, someone got attacked and there was no one else in there. It was just that actor.
Oh, my God.
So they had like some sort of seance thing and they had to cleanse it and whatnot. Obviously, some people think it's real, some people think it's bullshit, but so take of it what you will. But, yeah, there's some pretty spooky places they do scare attractions.
Yeah. I mean, where Horror Hitchinbrook's based, I mean, some of that looks like it should be haunted.
It's supposed to be haunted.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm good with that as well.
Yeah, I don't like that sort of stuff.
Especially because it's got a classroom in and creepy schools. I'm out.
Oh, scary, creepy schoolgirls, they're the worst. Not that I've met any, but they are worst. They are the worst. Definitely.
It's the singing as well.
Yeah, don't. See, like I said, I'm not even good at scary films, guys. I don't know why I do a podcast on scare attractions. I have not got a clue. Makes no sense. Obviously, a few of you have not done that many scare attractions before, but have you done any at all, like, last season? You said you did Extreme, Lizzie, but...
Yeah, it was Extreme and Fright Nights for me, which isn't a lot, so...
But I suppose you got a handful of mazes in that.
Yeah, definitely. I'd done... the first scare maze I ever did was Subspecies back in, like, 2017.
Okay.
Really bad idea.
it's quite a deep end, that one. It's quite the deep end.
Yeah, definitely. Thing is, though, like, you normally get separated in there, but we got separated and kind of met up really quickly. Whereas if I went through that pretty much on my own, I don't think I'd have ever done a scare maze again.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that can be quite a tough one.
Yeah.
What did you went to bloody Fright Nights as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Go on, tell everyone your experience.
Go on.
I had some issues with travel and stuff, so I managed to sort something out last minute, but I had to be back in my hometown at 5 o'clock. So I only really got to do platform 15 in a day, and that was about it. And anyone who's done platform 15 in a day knows it's not scary.
It's basically just a walk.
But was it scary? Was it, like, scary at all? Did you find it?
Not really, because you could see everything that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's...
True.
Like, even in the tunnel, like, they have cracks, and you can see in a tunnel, mainly, as well.
I really don't know why they opened that one so early. They should leave that until when Blair Witch opens at dusk. They should just leave that one closed as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it just wasn't scary to me, and I'm petrified of the things.
The queue line for The Walking Dead, like, the ride is scarier than platform in the day.
Yeah, agreed.
Really?
Yeah, like, when they've got actors in there. I mean, when they don't have actors in there, that scares the shit out of me, so...
Yeah, it's worse without the actors, because then you're messing with each other.
Yeah, you think something's going to come, something's going to come, something's going to come. Oh, nothing came.
Yeah. And your friend jumps from around a corner.
Oh, sorry, go on.
I did do another one last year. It's not really like a scare attraction thing, but like my local zoo has like a Halloween thing. And they have like a few different mazes and stuff. And they have like a little train as well, which takes you around what old animal enclosures used to be. And they would like have actors like playing out some scenes and stuff. And to be fair, they do have like chainsaws and they chase off the train with chainsaws, which I do not like.
Chainsaws are the weapon of choice.
I think
it's
Cara in the middle of the train. Yeah, but I'm kind of okay with that because, like, I don't have to do anything. I just sit there and it will do it all for me. Whereas I think I've got more of a fear of having to walk through something, if you get me.
The foreboding, like, I'm going to have to go through that and I don't really want to.
Yeah, like, more of a... If I sit down, I'm just like, well, I don't have to do anything. I sit here, whatever happens, happens, but I don't have to move. Whereas when I look at a scare attraction, I have to walk through that.
Yeah, of your own accord.
See, so maybe someone just needs to chuck me over their shoulder and take me through one instead.
Makes sense.
The thing is, though, like, you'd be disappointed if you, as scared as you are of doing them, if you came out of one and weren't scared, you'd be really disappointed.
Yeah, it's sort of a juxtaposition, isn't it? It's like, I want to be scared, but I'm scared to be scared.
Yeah.
It's awkward, isn't it?
I don't know if I got to the point of wanting to be scared yet.
See, I used to be like that. I was terrified. I think I mentioned it when I first came on this disc. I was petrified of roller coasters. I was scared of ghost trains. I wouldn't go in a haunted house. I was terrified. And then as soon as you realise it's just people dressed up, you kind of then realise that it's just an art form. And I look at it more of like more like a theatre. I don't want to get too thespian on you, but more, it's just a piece of theatre, really. It's just promenade theatre because you walk from room to room. You know, a bit like a Dungeons, but with a bit more scariness.
Yeah, definitely.
So once you realise that most haunts and scare attractions are similar in the fact that the most that they can do is scare you. Like, once you've got that first scare, it's not going to get much worse than that. Unless you sign away and do some of the shit they make me do. But other than that shit...
I'll leave that to you, Mikey.
Yeah, other than that palaver, once you get... It is literally like your first room, you're going to get a scare... That's about it. The rest, just try and enjoy. You might have a few scares, but you'll see some really awesome lighting, some really awesome sets. It's just...
Smells.
Yeah, smells and heat and actors and sounds. It's just a whole sort of, you know, loads of different ingredients that make a really fun cocktail. You might pee your pants whilst doing it, but... It's worth it.
It's worth it, definitely.
Once, like, the adrenaline kicks in...
That's what it is, Liz. Yeah, it's all about adrenaline. It's like theme park roller coasters. You were terrified of them, but you go on it and you want that adrenaline from it, don't you?
Yeah,
it's that rush and that, like, especially with you being afraid of scare mazes, Cal. I think once you realise, if you go through it and you shit yourself, but you know that you've come out on the other end, you're like, damn, like, I really enjoyed that.
You're getting a chicken out of it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It's weird. It's a hard one.
My brother's the same, though. My brother, we're the exact opposite. So he's only a couple of years younger than me, but I would never, ever watch scary films, but now I do all these scare mazes. Whereas he would watch every single scary movie under the sun, yet he won't go through a horror maze to save his life. I've even took him to Scarefest. He did do the welcoming, and then when he came out, he was like, oh, was that it? Oh, I would have done all the others if I knew it was like that. But I think I've given him horror stories of me coming home all bruised and waterboarded and tied up, and he goes, oh, I'm not doing that shit.
That's not the norm.
Yeah, that's definitely not the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do horror films, and I can do scare stuff, but I can't do horror games. I think it's because, like, you're forced to, like, control this one individual. It's just terrifying to me.
Yeah, like Until Dawn. Oh, that one.
See, Until Dawn was all right, but, like, you know, with, like, Outlast and stuff where you've got no weapons, like, everything's coming at you, you feel so vulnerable, and it's like, no.
I remember getting into the first room in Outlast and be like, no, I'm good, to turn off the game and never play it again.
That's the thing. All Callum likes playing now is Minecraft.
I've experienced a bit of this Minecraft last time I was on your Discord, and I had no fucking clue what the hell was going on. I'm good at Lego. I can do Lego. So I'm guessing similar kind of thing. You know, it's all bricks.
It's kind of the same thing, yeah.
It's all blocks,
Games for me, is if it's not Sonic or Tekken, that's kind of as far as I go, really, unfortunately.
Okay. Tekken, yes.
All I can do is basically jump and punch. I'm good at that. That's it. any game that makes me have to think of where am I going to build this house and how good am I going to build it, I just have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, that's like Lizzie with The Sims.
Oh, God, yeah. Nearly got 1,000 hours in Sims, just saying.
Oh, my days.
Jesus
Christ. My wife used to love Sims.
That's one thing I wonder, actually. How many hours do you reckon you've been in a scare maze for, Mikey?
How many hours have I been in one? Oh, my God. Yeah. That is... Now you've asked me that. Now I have to figure
that out
tonight.
That's the one you need to figure out, isn't it?
Damn.
God, let us know.
The other day, a few months ago, I mentioned it on the Discord, people were counting like you have creds for your roller coasters, people were maze cred. And so I had to figure out how many I'd done. And now I'm going to have to go through that list and figure out how long I've actually spent.
How long each maze was.
Inside. That's going to be
I think I'm going to start counting my maze creds before like I actually start getting a lot under my belt. So at least now I can remember them once I start.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Yeah,
I'm on two.
I'm on 424. So,
oh my,
amazing.
I'm hoping I hit the 500 this season, which would be quite nice.
I think it's safe to say you've hit over 1,000 hours in Scare Mazes.
Oh yeah, definitely hit over 1,000. Because, well, I mean, Cracked was 6. Well,
Jesus.
And then everything else. I mean, something like Contained. I'm looking at my list. Sorry. Contained was about half an hour. And then Shrewsbury Prison was like 2 hours. So, yeah, I've probably spent a fair few hours in them, haven't I, really?
Yeah.
What a sad That's and sheltered mental. Life. Jesus.
I mean, at least you're outside.
Yeah, but half of them are indoors, aren't they?
Oh, you are indoors, yeah. Some, yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, I need to rethink my life choices.
Honestly, I feel like because I've only done two, I feel like a bit of a pansy for it now. I need to do more.
We need honestly, to get on that this year, Luke.
If
definitely.
Close to Gloucester, I would definitely say that is a good one to start up with because there's nothing too terrifying there.
Definitely, I mean, it looks amazing, and all I've heard is like positive stuff about it. I haven't heard apart from the weather.
Mm.
Everything else just seems to be great and. Yeah,
it's,
I might
yeah,
give it a go.
It's,
I mean, I said that
last... I'd say that one's quite a laid-back one. Like, it's hard to try and... If they all had a sort of... what's the word I want? A theme, like an idea of what kind of event they were. You'd say that Extreme Scream Park is like a teenage boy. It's bullshit, it's in your face, it's aggressive, that sort of stuff. And then the... Gloucester one is a lot more laid back and a chilled out evening. Shocktoberfest at Tully's is just insane and it's go, go, go. So it's like, yeah, they all have their own little bit of a personality. And yeah, Gloucester is just you're not going to walk through Gloucester and get absolutely terrified at Frightmare. You're going to walk through it and get a little bit of a scare here and there, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, oh, that sounds like something up my street. Cause like,
that sounds like where I need to go.
No, because the only two mazes I did this year were kind of like really tame. I did was it Witch Hunt at Oakwood because that operates all year. I mean, it was all right. It was,
I've never done it myself.
It was just like three actors. It's all right. It's like you got your little story at the beginning, and then the rest of it doesn't seem to tie in with the story at all. The rest of it is just a strobe maze, and there's about three actors in there that. Jump around and scream in your face every once in a while, but you get a couple of good scares, and it's supposed to be like a kids one as well, but I saw people like kids running out the fire exit with their parents, so that was fun. And the other one was the attic at Scarefest, which was again it was all right. The theming was amazing.
Yeah, theming was really good in the attic.
It's one of those things though, isn't it, the attic? It's like because towers are they got the money to put the theming in. I mean, the actors did great, but it didn't seem like there was no like anticipation for me.
Right.
It's because I went on a busy day as well. They were just trying to, get you in and out as soon as they can.
That's the problem. Is I was really lucky. There was only four people, I think, in my group for the attic.
Was there?
Yeah, and consistency is just a beast that can't be tamed when it comes to scare attractions, like.
Yeah.
I can do one maze, have the best run ever, do the same maze again and go, what the fuck was that garbage, So it's it's always and of course it's all subject to opinion again, like a clown mazes terrify some people, other people just laugh at them. So
yeah.
It's all
I'd like to experience a clown maze because I don't necessarily have a fear of clowns, so whereas a lot of people are like deadly terrified of them, but when I see I've seen a lot of the POVs from the one at Tully's. Is that Twisted Clown?
Yes, yeah.
And it just doesn't look scary to me. But when you're in there, it might be a totally different atmosphere.
I don't find it scary. I find it jumpy. They're quite good at jumping.
I'm not scared of clowns, but nothing really screams scary as much as a crazed clown running around with a chainsaw chasing you.
They can be crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing with clown mazes. They seem to be like everywhere, and I'd like to see like a completely brand new theme that has never been done before. But then again,
there's
it's a bit difficult.
I know what you mean. It's like it's nice to see something original. And there's not the problem is there's only 7 stories in the world. So every film you watch, every program you watch, anything, there's actually all based around I don't want to get too thespian on you, but it's there's only 7 stories. They're just told quite differently. So everything you've seen before, and every song you've heard will use similar, not lyrics, but similar beats, or you know, there's nothing unique as such in different genres. So yeah, and scare mazes are the same. The same with roller coasters. Like now and again, you'll get something brand new, which is like when 13's drop track came in. Like that's brand new, but now it's in a few places around the world. It's the same sort of thing. Like I'd say the most original ish idea in scare attractions in the last 10 years is probably Psychomantium at Scare Kingdom, which there's not many attractions that they made you go by yourself, and this was one of the first in the UK, so you're by yourself. You've been strapped to a gurney, you've been taken through, like strapped to a wheelchair, it's full of naked people. It's like a psychosexual horror experience. So that was very different.
Places
to do. Full on. I've seen cock and balls, boobs and bums, tits and dicks.
This has been on my list.
Honestly,
Jesus Christ.
There's sort of like an unwritten rule about Psychomantium is the fact that you go through it. It's a bit like Darren Brown. You don't really want to tell everyone what you've been through. You don't want to. I wouldn't want to put it on the podcast and let all three of my listeners hear it.
I've definitely heard controversies about the place.
Big time.
But I guess it depends.
If anyone wants to know, big time. It's definitely a niche market. But if anyone wants to learn more about it, when I stop recording, I can always tell more about the experiences in that crazy world.
I've heard a couple from you.
I remember saying last time.
It sounds a bit crazy,
Definitely. Definitely. It's the most awkward boner you're ever going to get. Anyway, let's end the scare talk on boners. Great. never professional here. Let's bring it back to theme parks before we sort of finish up. What are you guys most excited for the 2020 season? Because I'm going to be 100% honest. I didn't get my Merlin pass renewed last year, and I'm probably not going to this year. Only because, other than sort of David Walliams Land, really, which I'm excited to see, nothing else is really drawing me as such. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Parks can't invest heavily each and every season. We totally understand that. But is there anything out there that that you're quite excited about or looking forward to seeing what happens?
Well, I think Storm Chaser at Portland Park. I quite like the look at that.
That's a good point, actually. The whole new area is looking awesome, to be fair, at Portland Park, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, as I said, it's pretty much a kids' park, so it's not really going to bring in the thrill seekers, but, like, it is a really nice park, and it is worth going, but, yeah, that roller coaster in particular, I've got my eye on.
Yeah, I've never actually been, I do need to get there.
It is amazing. I mean, it's there's a few areas that need theming and look a bit outdated, but the investments they put in, especially for Lost Kingdom 3 years ago, was absolutely insane.
Yeah,
it's such a beautiful like section of the park, and they got, you know, 3 roller coasters in that section, and they're all really good. And yeah, it's a really nice park, and it doesn't feel like it's corporate owned.
So it's,
it's not like all the Merlin parks.
Yeah, it's got more of a... Sometimes it feels a little bit more loved, doesn't it, like that?
Yeah, definitely. You can tell that they they really care about that park. I mean, the landscaping is fantastic, and yeah, it's like even just to go like a chill day out is really good.
Sweet, yeah, and that does look good, Storm Chase. Actually, I need to get there definitely. That's a good shout. Anyone else got anything that you're looking forward to next season?
I think for me, it's going to be getting out to Europe Parks.
Yeah.
I really want to get on Zardra, to be honest. Get all the credits at Energylandia. That's what I'm looking forward to.
There's so many coasters opening at the Energylandia. Is on my bucket list, definitely.
It's not even been open for like 10 years, and they've, like, when everything opens this year, it'll be 17 fucking coasters.
Jeez. Mm. That's not bad going, is it?
It's insane.
Gotta get that RMC cred.
Definitely.
And last but not least?
I'm really excited to get back to Florida, to be honest.
I want to go to Florida!
I'm really looking forward to getting on Star Wars Rise of Resistance. That Dark Rider looks absolutely phenomenal.
It genuinely just looks out of this world. I've tried not to spoil it
for myself at all, because I just wanted to walk in and be amazed by it, because the reviews I've heard and some of the teaser pictures I've seen, it looks nuts.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be disappointed, definitely.
No, I'm pretty sure I won't be either. Yeah. Being a massive Star Wars geek anyway. And then getting back on my number one coaster in Florida as well.
And what's that?
Mako.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah. It's a bloody good ride, is Mako.
It's a very good ride.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All good.
I went seeing Infinity Falls.
Oh, yeah, of course, at SeaWorld.
That rapid ride. Yeah, SeaWorld, that's their tallest rapid drop.
Yeah. Oh, sweet, yeah.
That'd be a good one as well.
Mega jealous. I need to get back to Orlando. I've only ever been once, 2016. And,
okay.
Yeah, I definitely need to get back. It's just a bloody expensive holiday.
It's very expensive. Mm. That's why I'm doing it with parents.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of going on the game, definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. So
it's well worth it.
Yeah, it'd be worth it to go on the game. Just become a rent boy.
It's Florida, yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Anyone ask? Are you trying to do this to feed your family and look after your kids? No, I want to ride Rise the Ride. I want to go to Florida, man.
That's the plan.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, guys, I mean, I think that rounds us up quite nicely.
Yeah.
It's been awesome chatting to you guys here on Coaster Track / Scare Track.
Thank you for having us on.
No,
thank
you
very much.
Thanks for coming on at mega late notice as well, really. So it's been awesome. And guys, we need to let everyone out there know more about Trick Track. Any of our listeners may not have come across you guys yet. So how do they get in contact with you? How do they hear your content? They need to join this ever-growing Discord group as well. So give us all your socials.
So our Twitter app is @trick_track with a K at the end of track. Then our YouTube channel, I'm pretty sure, just comes up as Trick Track.
Awesome.
Yep, just type in Trick Track on YouTube. And we also have an Instagram as well.
We're also on Spotify as well.
And Spotify.
Oh yeah, don't forget Spotify. Perfect. It's all about Spotify.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll come up as Trick Track on Spotify and Trick_track again for our Instagram.
Awesome stuff. Awesome. Yeah. And how do they join the Discord group as well? Because that's an ever-growing, nice group of enthusiasts that are just sort of each evening have a nice little relaxed chat and talk about parks and all kinds of nice stuff I've seen so far.
Drop us a message on our Twitter and we'll send you the link, because it's invite only, to keep it kind of like, we don't want it to go crazy, but everyone is welcome.
Yeah, we don't want any of the ruffians in there. We don't, you know what I'm saying. I don't know what you mean. Awesome. So
No assholes.
Yeah, don't be a dickhead.
Let's be honest. Yeah, no assholes. Yeah, and by looking at half of your Twitters, guys, we can see who the assholes are. So
we're watching.
So if you don't get let in, don't wonder why.
Yeah, that's basically the test of the 2020 enthusiasts. If you're not let into the Trick Track Discord, you're a bit of a dick.
You're an arsehole.
Elite group.
Yeah, sweet. I think that's a perfect way to end it. We've got 50% of listeners now going to ask you for the Discord, and 50% of listeners going, I'm not even going to ask for it because I'm a dick. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us on Coaster Track and Scare Track. I wish you all the best for 2020, and I'll see some of you at Blackpool.
Oh, thank you. I'll see you at Blackpool.
Thank you.
See you soon, guys.
See you later.
You're listening to the Coaster Track Podcast.
So there we go, guys. A huge thank you to the Trick Track team for taking time out and coming here on the Coaster Track Podcast with a little bit of Scare Track mixed in as well. There was a few technical difficulties with the recording, so I hope it all sounded okay for you guys. And I really enjoyed chatting to the Trick Track team. Make sure you check out their podcast. It's nice and new, but it's a nice approach to podcasting, a cool laid back atmosphere, and it's a really enjoyable listen each time. They've already had the Drop team on as well. We're going to be on next week. We have also spoke to the Drop on the podcast a fair few, probably last year now as well, but we do love these collaborations. So if anyone wants to join us with a collaboration, either it be podcast or YouTube, please do just give us a shout. You can find us on all our social media channels, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track, or you can email us direct, info@scaretrack.co.uk. Be sure to follow all the socials that we just mentioned for Trick Track and check out their latest episode coming out soon. Really excited to hear more stuff with Trick Track. So guys, that brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Coaster Track Podcast. A huge thank you for listening. Like I say, do join us on our social media channels or check out our website, scaretrack.co.uk, where you can check out all the Scare Track podcasts, the Coaster Track podcast, Scare Cam, Coaster Track vlogs, Patreon, merch, absolutely anything you need regarding Coaster Track and Scare Track. But for now, thanks for listening. I will see you in Blackpool. Bye, guys.